I'm Sean Kennedy. I'm the editor-in-chief of the American Journal of Nursing, and I'm very pleased to be on the phone with Rohini Paul, who is the nursing superintendent in the Department of Cardiology, Narayana Hridayala. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Cardiac Hospital.
Hridayala, yes.
Okay. In Bangalore, India. And Rohini is the primary author, along with several other authors, on an article that is appearing in AJN in our August issue called Sustaining Pressure Ulcer Best Practices in a High-Volume Cardiac Care Environment. And this is just a fabulous article. All the reviewers, when they read it, they were just blown away by the concise reporting, but also the project itself. To give you a little background before I start having a conversation with Rohini, this cardiac hospital is one of the world's largest and busiest hospitals. And in early 2009, they experienced a sharp increase in the number of surgical procedures that they were performing and had a concomitant rise in hospital-acquired pressure ulcers. So they embarked on this ambitious plan to reduce pressure ulcer prevalence. And what they found in their observation period, assessment period, was an average of about 6 to 7% of all adult and pediatric surgical patients were experiencing pressure ulcers while recovering in the intensive therapy unit. So they implemented these efforts, which Rohini can explain better, including repositioning and focusing on changing certain practices and raising awareness and personal responsibility for patient assessment. And the outcome of this is that after 6-7 months, the percentage of pressure ulcers was reduced to zero and has been maintained as of April of this year. So it's an incredible result, and one that did not require investment in high-tech equipment or additional staffing, but just really good nursing care. So, Rohini, with the different things that you implemented, what do you think was the primary difference that made this program work?
Okay. Thank you, Sean. Whenever we think of pressure ulcer, we tend to blame the nurses, because pressure ulcers, the nurses are not doing it. And whenever the cardiac surgery patients who came from the theater operating room to the intensive therapy unit, they always, the second day, they found the redness and then a small skin peel, and that's the way it developed the pressure ulcer. Mm-hmm. So when it's after 2 days, if it's not monitored or change of position not done, because by the time the damage is done, once the skin is peeled, then it's very difficult. It takes a long time for that place to get the skin back. Mm-hmm. So when we understood and the nurses were blamed, so then only we thought of something more I need to do. So that is one step beforehand, that is in the operating room.
So you realized,
so I went back to,
you realized it was, it wasn't on the nursing unit. It was before that in the OR that it was.
Yes, the redness happens in the operating room. Because
okay.
If a cardiac surgery is tendency is 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, it's a length of surgery. So I spent some time in the operating room, what the practice, the nurses were doing it. So one thing what we were missing is, you know, the betadine. Povidine iodine is the solution which they clean the slit just before the incision is made.
The betadine.
The same.
The prep, right.
Betadine, yeah, it's povidine iodine. So the same liquid is used when they do the catheterization. Because one of the procedures, invasive procedures, they have to do a urinary catheterization, which is part of the pre-op preparation. So when they clean the patient's urethra, they liberally use this betadine. So when they use this betadine, there is a pool of betadine just go down, and it takes a small pool in the exactly in the sacral region.
Mm-hmm.
And one more thing, when they clean the chest wound, you know, the tendency of surgeon, what is left over in the small gallipot, they pour it on the chest and it just goes across either side.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that is the way this happens. And these are liquids which goes and stagnates at the bottom. And because they use the cautery machine, diathermy, to cauterize the small blood vessels, so they have a conduction system and there is an earthing. But because of this liquid which touches on the skin, which acts like a conductor, because liquid,
mm-hmm.
and there are some skin changes happens there. This is what I understood.
Okay.
So that first step what I did to prevent this pool of liquid happening there. So for that, a simple thing what I did, before they do the cleaning on either side, we made a small cotton roll in the cloth, kept it either side, the same way we did it at the sacrum also, when they do the cleaning for the catheterization. So once that is done, after the cleaning, remove both the rollers and the pad at the bottom, turn the patient at 30 degree. Of course, the surgeon allowed us to do it. Make sure with the cotton, the whole surface of the skin at the back is dry.
Mm-hmm.
Then the patient is placed on the position. Then they did the draping. That's mm-hmm. a sterile drape placed on the patient before the surgery. That part I took care. Another aspect what I understood, there are patients are having skin problems. They have skin, because elderly people, it is so difficult for them to clean the bottom. There would not be anybody seeing it. There's already a skin changes which takes place. But that could be identified only at the time of the initial assessment on admission.
Mm-hmm.
So I went ahead furthermore, start assessing the patients, and we added one or two of these points about the skin. So the nurse on admission, part of our assessment, added this point, and then they put all their comments about the skin, which we never did before. Maybe the skin is okay, fine, that's the way they would have done it, but nothing on the sacrum, they have observed the patient. So that is also took place.
So
then
so
the follow-up.
Oh, go ahead.
Yes. So there is an assessment done. With that assessment, there was no handing. The nurse might hand over so many other documents when they shifted the patient to theater. But part of the skin also was turned and shown to the operating room nurse at the time of shifting the patient. That we started. That's why the new form which we started, WAR to OR, OR to ITU, ITU to that format we created.
Mm-hmm.
So every stage, then one more thing, when a nurse is handing over the patient from OR to the operating room, from there to intensive therapy unit, there was no much concentration done on the skin. So again, because every stage the nurse wants to escape, because she wants to show from my side nothing is there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the operating room nurse handed over the patient by turning the patient and showing it to the intensive therapy unit. In this stage, the anesthetist and the surgeon also signed in the paper.
Because so from stage
unless
one.
Unless when it comes, yes.
So from the very beginning.
The doctor never did that. But when it's handing over a patient from operating room to the intensive therapy unit, the anesthetist and surgeon signed.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds to me that what you really instituted was a concentrated effort. So that from the time of admission, people look to make sure the skin is fine. Then when the patient is in the operating room, that person assesses it again and says, yes, it's fine when I receive the patient. And then when the patient goes to the next step, to the intensive therapy unit, again, the nurses together look at the skin and say, okay, it's coming fine from the OR. There's no redness and stuff. So it's this really careful assessment and attention in that really kind of took care of, all right, where the problem was coming from, and I guess the personal responsibility. Nobody wanted to be the one who had the problem and was giving it to someone else.
Yes.
How did you get very good physician support?
Yes, because the main thing, this is presented, which I have mentioned, and every Thursday morning, 7:45, in the mortality meeting, where we have all the surgeons, the HOD of anesthesia, everybody is present there, and Dr. Shetty also.
And he's the medical director?
He's the chairman, yes.
The chairman.
And, yeah, so there I present. So everybody is careful. And so it is taken very seriously.
Right.
So we took their 100% cooperation, and we made them to sign, because I am very much involved. I am there. Everything, I am there. And it is, from then on, we took it. Otherwise, they just blame the nurses.
Right.
You have not done it. You have not done it. So the preventive aspect is the one which we started, which really helped us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then
there is one more.
Go ahead.
Yes, there's one more stage where, you know, there are some patients, we call them, the chest is open, because the sternum is not closed for a reason, for a 2 hours, for a day, because, you know, they're expecting maybe an exploration needed or some such patients. They were worried. The surgeons never used to allow us to change the position. Then in the mortality meeting, I explained everything. I told them, we will make sure 30 degree we can change the position, and we'll just have a quick look at the skin,
mm-hmm.
which I got permission from all the surgeons. So that again I started. So there is no use to suggest open patients, because the patient position is not changed, so develop the redness and skin peel. So that again we got their cooperation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason even an ECMO patient, I have mentioned in my data, that we could manage a patient without a pressure ulcer.
Were those the patients that were usually the ones who ended up having pressure sores because they weren't allowed to be moved?
Moved, yes.
Yes. Okay. It's an effort that requires input by everyone, and I think I just love
I love
how, and it's, and for those who are listening, it's very well detailed in the article in the August issue. It's very well detailed how it's not just the nurses trying to solve this, because as Rohini pointed out, you know, the physician practices certainly impacted as well, and having the physician culpability, so that at the morbidity meetings where patients were discussed, and it became clear what the problem was or who was not allowing something to happen. So, and I guess when the medical director is sitting there, nobody wants their name to be called.
And I know in that form I have made a comment that what's the patient told not to shift the position, say change the position, he has to sign, the surgeon has to sign there. He doesn't want to sign there.
Right.
You say, okay, you change the position.
Oh, so if he doesn't want to follow the protocol, he has to sign.
Yeah, he has to sign.
Oh, I see. He's saying he doesn't want to.
So I mentioned that again. Yes.
And that's something they don't
Nobody
want.
Nobody wants to sign there. Yeah.
That's very good.
But that is what it is.
That's very good. And how was it difficult to get to make the changes, like to have the nurses do all the, you know, because most of the work does fall to the nurses in terms of, you know, changing the practices with the betadine and making sure the patient's skin dry. Was it, you know, nurses aren't known to be always the ones who want to change everything. They like the way things are sometimes. So did you have some issues where you had to really convince people to do it? And
I need to, because I spent some time in the operating room.
Mm-hmm.
And again, when the nurse is going to be answerable, she doesn't want to be answerable,
mm-hmm.
so she has to take that preventive aspect there.
Mm-hmm.
Because she has to also answer along with anesthetic surgeon and why it happened. So that way, it took some time, but we could implement it.
Yeah. So it sounds like the personal responsibility, both on the part of the nurses and the physician, was
that
key.
Is the,
was a key aspect.
Answerable. I am answerable. Everyone, because they were answerable, they took it seriously, and I could implement all that.
That's fabulous. And you're still now. This was April 1st was the last results, and now we're at the only a month later. But it sounds like it's well entrenched. I mean, this happened in 2010, so 4 years later, it sounds like the practices are just now really sustainable and continuing.
Yes, yes. Even today, Thursday, I'm talking to you. Today, I presented it, and it's continuing. And we are very proud. And tomorrow, we are going to have an Asian Cardiac Conference, 2 days conducted in our hospital. So one of my presentation on patient safety is this. So we are very proud to present
it. It's a fabulous
conference.
It's fabulous because here in the U.S., of course, sometimes the people think the answer is, okay, let's buy special mattresses and, you know, and all the special equipment to make it easier for the patients, and, you know, airflow mattresses and alternating airflow mattresses and, you know, all sorts of technology. But it's really basic nursing care and personal responsibility seems to be the answer.
Yes, yes, yes.
How is your staffing?
Otherwise, we have no issue. We have 1:1 for all the critical care areas. That is one more advantage for us to
one-to-one in critical care. Okay.
Yes.
That's very good. So what do you think, what's the one thing you would say, you know, for nurses who are struggling with implementing the pressure ulcers and having issues, what's the one thing you would say, you know, what do you want them to take away after reading your article? What's the main point you want them to understand?
The initial thing is nobody should blame the nurses, because it's just not only the nurses' responsibility, especially when it comes to cardiac operating patients. Mm-hmm. And it is a team effort, and the accountability is going to make the difference.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And main thing, it is preventive aspect. If we can prevent it, not to allow them to have any redness or skin peel, you know, we can do a very good job. We can do it. Every second hourly, if we change the position, we can't depend on any of the alphabet, nothing. Mm-hmm. Whatever bed we put in, if you don't say change the position, if you free that skin from touching the bed in every second hour, they will develop some kind of sign of pressure sore. Not sore, some kind of redness or things like that. Mm-hmm.
So you religiously, every 2 hours, patients are repositioned?
Yes, that's what we have created, a monitoring form, which a night nurse and day nurse and afternoon, they write in a different color pen, and it's been written there every shift.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fabulous. Well, Rohini, congratulations on a wonderful improvement in your hospital and a wonderful effort. And I'm so glad you worked with these other authors to write this up and send it to AJN. I think it's a fabulous program. But it's such a well done article, and we will have it as a feature article on our own homepage. And it's a CE feature article, so nurses will be reading it because they can get CE credits for it. So it will be open access, free access on our website. And we do have lots of readers outside of the United States. So I think because of the low cost and just the common sense and manner in which you approach this project, I think it's certainly doable anywhere. And I hope people will read this and really take heart the things that you did in your hospital. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Sean. I'm really happy, and I really appreciate your effort and time taken to publish our article.